to Soulful Conversations with Najeda. I'm Najeda Chapoteau. I am an empowerment and confidence coach, spiritual teacher, and speaker. I am passionate about dance. If you ever see me on social media, you'll often see sometimes I dance quite often, actually not sometimes. I'm also passionate about social justice, spirituality, nature, love, making a difference. And I am very passionate about making a difference in my homeland, Haiti, through empowering women and children, especially in the area of education and ending child servitude. And I'm also very much passionate, which is very much in line with my work as a coach. I'm passionate about empowering women around the world to speak their truth, to embrace and love who they are, so they can share their authentic self and make an impact being who they really are. I'm very passionate about that because I'm a firm believer. It's when we really embrace who we really are, when we show up as who we really are, that we can truly make a difference in the world. I am really happy and I am so looking forward to speaking to my guest today, who is a friend and fellow entrepreneur, Hahalia G. Franklin. Did I say it right? Because I know her as Yali. Say it for me so I make sure I say it right.
Yahalia, I know, because everybody
knows me. Yeah. Yes, Yahalia G. Franklin. She is a mother of three beautiful girls. I've met one of them already. She's an inspirational speaker and entrepreneur. She's passionate about discussing mass incarceration and the effects in the Black and Brown communities. She speaks at schools and youth centers, encouraging the youth adults how not to fall prey of the school to prison pipeline. Totally, yes. I love that. Thank you for joining me today. Yeah, Yahalia, are you want me to call you Yahalia? Or are you calling you Yali? Actually, you know what? For me, I'm all about being authentic. Before, I was like, you know what? When I was reading your intro earlier, I was like, I have to make sure I ask her before we start recording that I got it right, but then I didn't. So yeah, go ahead. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Najeda. Yes, it is Yahalia. However, everyone knows me as Yali. And I say Yali because it's been my nickname since I was little. I've always had people had conflicts pronouncing my name. So, you know, it's nothing new to me.
Well, you know what, actually I have a friend, her name is Mahalia, so it's just Ahalia, Yahalia. Yes.
Right, yes. Instead of M is Y. Yes,
yeah, totally. And her, we would call her Maya, you know, that's or the nickname that we have for her. Great. So tell me, I mean, I know you're very passionate about mass incarceration. It's very much, it's something that, I mean, I constantly see your posts on social media to the point that whenever now I hear about mass incarceration, you come to mind. I think I told you that the other day because, I was watching the interview with Ben Jones.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw it. And they were talking about the prison system and there you came to mind. Me, has this always been something that you've been passionate about, why did this become such an important cause for you, what is it like, was it something that's always been a part of who you are?
Yes, well, in essence, it has been since youth. I had four brothers and now I'm down on the two, and out of the two, I have one that's always in and out of jail, in and out of prisons. And so because of him, I have drawn a greater passion to mass incarceration and the psychosis of it overall. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thankfully he's out now and he's of age, much older than I am. And hopefully now this will be the last time that he will make per se that bid in that world, because it is a different world than it is out here. However, I've become passionate about the youth because we're not paying attention to the school to prison pipeline. And that is a real issue in our community. Many of our schools, they have taken out all the programs that will help cultivate some of our youths. You know, it helps them to find themselves and find things that they like. Those have been taken out of the school system and has been placed into the detention center funding. So in essence, they have removed funding from the schools and then allocated it for detention centers. In my research, I have found that here in the state of Florida, especially South Florida, we have three major counties that have increased their budgets in the millions, wow. $6 million a year to host our juvenile kids in their detention centers. And these beds have to be filled in order for them to receive budget. So we're removing the money and per se, because they use the word budget, but we know it's money. They're removing the money out of the school system into these detention center, in essence, the school to prison pipeline. So there is no more resources in the school system. So they're pressing the resources into the detention center. So that's where our kids are going. So it's no longer creating productive citizens. We're creating prisoners. And so how is that ethical? I don't understand that. And so because of my research, I've grown passionate about ending mass incarceration. That's hashtag end mass incarceration.
Mm-hmm. So I know one of your things is that is really to get parents to be able to collaborate with teachers so that, you know, this doesn't happen, so that we can stop this from this madness, because that's what it is.
Yes.
And it's no wonder that we're seeing so many black and brown kids ending up in the prison system, you know? So tell me a little bit about that work that you're doing.
It's
because important. I think some people may be thinking they can't do anything about it. Like some parents. So I think you might be a great, you know, person to kind of give them an idea, you know, because I know for you, you're pretty engaged in your daughter's school and stuff.
Yes.
Like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I think as parents, and I am guilty as well, we don't know that our voices matter. We don't know that we can actually change and put a stop to what's going on, especially like the testing. Testing has become a source of the mass incarceration, because they're no longer teaching for our children to comprehend what is being taught. They're teaching for testing. And so if you're not a great tester, you're bound to fail the test, no matter how many ways they try to teach it to you, because you're not comprehending what you're learning. So as parents, we can say, no, I don't want my kid to be tested, but we don't know that, right? So we fall prey to that. And then the other issue also is that because now teachers cannot discipline our children, we as parents cannot discipline our children because they are taught that they can call the police on us parents, you know. Mm-hmm. So now we lose control in the home and we lose control in the school system. So neither one of us who are authority to our kids, we don't have that power. But we have to come up with a plan as teachers and parents to collaborate together so that it can be beneficial to our students from the home, because it starts in the home. Yes. And then progress into the school. We can't expect our teachers to raise our kids. Our kids are being raised at home. And so that dynamic has to change first and foremost, right? Because many, many parents, and we know it exists, we can't wait for our kids to go to school because we need that break. But guess what? We are the ones creating the monsters as well. So if we take the time to invest in our children, for instance, you know your child has issues learning to read. So let's invest in a tutor. There are so many programs out there that are available for our kids to get tutors. Now, we do have paid tutors and we have free tutors. We have high school students that are able to come into the elementary schools and the junior high schools and help our kids with tutoring in math, science, and whatever subject they need help in. But we don't tap into those resources. Many seniors need at minimum 40 hours in order for them to graduate. That is another tool for them to gain their 40 hours and yet invest in the community as well. So those are other resources that we don't tap into, that we don't really pay attention to, that is available for us to use. And so in doing that, we will see increase in comprehension. We will see increase in our kids going on to the next level of the education, and us as parents and teachers collaborating to make sure that our kids are being successful in the world and not being successful in the prison to school, the school to prison pipeline. And that's where we need to start. It starts in the home, and then it goes and flows into the school and on forward.
Totally, yes. Thanks for sharing that, because I think sometimes, like you were saying, like I was sharing, is that some people are like, well, I don't know what to do. But I like how you say, you know, in some way, parents need to know, okay, you need to parent your children.
Absolutely.
Because like you said, kids are not being raised in school, they're being raised at home. You know,
exactly.
Obviously they get a lot from the school as well. But basically what I'm hearing you say is parents need to take ownership.
Absolutely.
Of their children. And it's not just, you know, about what they're learning in school. But like, I love what you talked about, you know, getting tutors and, you know, giving them the tools. So totally. So tell me now, since you've been doing this, has there been any type of issues that has come up? Like, what have you noticed that has been sort of like hard to do or get by, or message that is really you're having a hard time having to put it out there for parents, or they're like, you know, you're getting pushed back?
I'm not getting pushback, but I am getting resistance. And the resistance comes more from the parents than anything else.
Yeah, why? That's why I wanted to bring this on. So that
right? They can... right. The parents, why we're resisting? Because it's something new. This is a need in our community, and it requires hands-on. And so many of us don't have the time. How many parents we know work 2-3 jobs just to put food on
the table? I was just thinking about that.
Right? And so because of that, they don't have the time to they don't want to hear what I have to say, because to them it's hogwash, right? But at the same time, if we have that village back in our community as it was back then, and I'm not that old, but there was a village when I was growing up. Let's not tell my age, but there was a village. You had the teacher who could discipline me, and we had the neighbors who could discipline me. We had family members who could discipline me, right? So, but now in today's society is different, because now we have teachers abusing students. We have the neighbors abusing students. We got family members. That's becoming so prominent that we have so many people abusing our children. So that village has collapsed, but yet we can still rebuild that village. We can't lose hope in the village, right? Especially now in this society where parents are working 2-3 jobs just to make ends meet. So we need those parents that are available, that have the time to say, hey, let me, you know, bring little Johnny over here, you know, just drop him off or I'll pick him up. And we can collaborate together and help each other. That has been a problem for us, for our kids to be successful, is that we lose hope. And once you lose hope, we all know it all goes downhill. You know, so regaining that village and that power to collaborate and to bring back that community, that sense of community, that sense of help, I think with that alone, we can progress in little steps. It only takes little steps for us to have a big impact. So yeah, the resistance comes from the parents. And like I said, you know, it's from working. And
of course.
The more I talk about it, the more they becoming understanding of what I'm saying. You know, I'm not just talking. I am showing numbers. I am showing examples. You know, for instance, I learned about 3 weeks ago during research that in the county of Broward, where I am located, and in the county of Miami-Dade, the detention centers receive over $6 million in funding for our kids to go to juvenile detention centers for X amount of time. Now, why are we okay with that? Why are we okay with that? Because we don't know what's going on. When they said the school doesn't have funding, why? We don't ask why the school all of a sudden doesn't have funding.
Yeah, I've heard of like teachers having to buy supplies themselves.
Absolutely. And now, so we have the teachers that have to buy supplies for their classroom, and now they're not getting the tax deductible benefit of buying those supplies. Like, really, who is really suffering? We are suffering. But in order for that to stop, we have to unite and fight.
Totally. And one thing that you just, you know, when you brought it up, it made me think about, I think it's the sort of the same thing when it comes to politics or even social justice, that many times people say that they don't have time to know what's going on. They don't have time to be engaged. They don't have time to even go out and vote because of they're working so many jobs.
Right.
In some way, some people have said that the system is built that way.
Correct.
It's built to keep people occupied, to keep them basically slaving to take care of themselves and their families, and they're not able to be there for their children. They're not able to get involved in, you know, in social justice and political movements. They're not able to really take time to be critical thinkers and really think about what's going on.
Correct. Yes, you're right. It's
like a vicious cycle.
It is a vicious cycle, and this is why it takes a village. You know, it's not a cliche. It does take a village to raise one child. You know, and the minute we can understand the importance of us pouring into our youth from early, not wait till they get into, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, but pour into them from early so that they can understand that, hey, listen, yeah, school is hard, but guess what? I'm here to help you. Your mom is here to help you. Your teacher is here to help you. You know, we're all here to make it better for you. Mm-hmm. When a child feels competent and they feel like they are worthy, they will give you the world. They will give you 1,001% without you having to ask. But if we're not providing that, how are they going to feel confident enough to do anything? So it starts with us pouring into them. And the sooner we can begin to do that, I'm telling you, our communities will change.
Totally. So this is the thing. I really, I'd like for you to talk about a little bit, because, you know, I was thinking that's why, you know, one of the reasons I wanted you to come is because I really want to see more women of color stepping up and really taking on issues that matter to them, issues that they are passionate about, even if it's not something that is related to their work, you know?
Right.
Because I think sometimes we're kind of like, okay, this is my business, or this is my work, this is what I do. But then they don't really get involved in their communities. They don't really take on a cause and really run with it. So tell me, I know for you, you did talk about why you get involved, but what would you say to somebody? I know you talked about that, you know, our voices matter. And I think that's a huge one. But what else would you say as to why would you encourage other women to really, if like you, it's mass incarceration. For somebody else, it might be the environment. It might be something different. It might be the LGBTQ, whatever it is, you know? So what would you say to them as to, you know, what would be your message as to, okay, this is why you want to do this?
It's an internal decision. Mm-hmm. Why I say internal? We all have a purpose.
Yes.
It might be similar, but it's never the same, right? Mm-hmm. And so the minute that we embrace, because fear is a factor that allows us to sit dormant and to sit down and be afraid and not want to take that step. But I promise you, I experienced the fear too. I sat on this issue for about 1.5, 2 years before I started making
some of us much longer.
Right? And I didn't share it, but this came to me as a dream, as well as my experience with my brother growing up. So when I received the dream, I didn't want to do it. I was like, what? No, because I was focused on opening up a beauty school. And so I had done the research, got the name, was getting ready to, I did register the name. I did all that. But it became just stagnant. Like I couldn't move. It was literally like a roadblock. And so literally it kept coming to me. And so when I decided to say, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to start. That is the key.
Yes.
Small steps gets you to that bigger picture, gets you to the bigger door. And so as long as you begin to know that you can do it, as long as you know that you can, that is the that is where you begin. It doesn't start with you, Nadira, or me. It starts with the individual. So once you believe in yourself and know that you can, you got to fight that fear like it's, you know, the next person trying to come at you for your money or come at you for your kids. You really got to go hard, but you're fighting yourself. You're fighting that internal person that is holding you hostage. So make that step. Once you make that step, the sky is limitless. They tell you the sky is the limit. I don't believe that, because we know it keeps going and going and going and going and going. So it's limitless. Just take that first step. But one thing you said that I wanted to piggyback on, and I know this, you're about women empowerment. I think we need to begin to incorporate men into our movement, because in order for us to go forward, we need to. We need a man, the man's version and thoughts and creativity and ideas just as much as we need each other's ideas and creativity, because we cannot succeed if we don't work together. Yes, we need to work together as women, but we need to incorporate men and become that couple per se, you know, for a lack of a better word, that unity that will progress as a family unit and as a community, because we can't do it just by one gender. It has to be all of us together from all creeds.
No, totally. And actually, I want to share two things based on what you just, well, not going with the men yet. I'm going to go there soon. Something that you said, I don't want to forget is, I can't recall. Okay, you said you believe in it and just you have to believe it and know you can do it. You know, yeah. I often say, you know, there's a book that I read, and it's by, her name is Tara Moore. I think it's Moore, but it's M-O-H-R, I think. But it's called Playing Big. And she said, playing big is being more loyal to your dreams than to your fears.
Absolutely.
And I love it. And I often say, playing big is being, you know, I often say the reason why I keep going, the reason why I go is because my vision and my purpose I truly believe that when you embody your highest self, that's when you can truly make an impact. That they are bigger than my fears. My
vision
is bigger than my fear. So that is totally, I totally agree with you there, totally. Now going back to the men part, I have to say, yes, for me, I'm really all about women empowerment. They're the ones I work with. But I've always, you know, in this whole, you know, we're in the, right, this is our time right now.
Right.
You know, there's this whole woman movement that is really, you know, really popping up, the Me Too movement and everything. I've often say that, you know, we have to include men as well, because we don't want to be shutting them out, because
we need
men. Like,
absolutely.
We don't live in this world alone.
Right. Exactly.
You know? Even if you choose to be married or not or whatever, you
exactly.
Know, your dad, you know, our fathers, we wouldn't be born if they, you know, they're part of it. So we
absolutely.
Do need them. And I think it's my first time sharing this in a public space like that. I'm actually going to start working with men this year.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, this is my first time sharing it in a public space like that. I've always felt the urge to work with them. And actually, a little bit less than 4 years ago, because it was in 2014, but I guess it's not the first month yet. But basically, I had the opportunity to run two workshops with this organization in D.C., and they were actually men. There was supposed to be this one girl, but she didn't come. But both times, they're men, they were minors when they went to jail. And that organization worked with them, you know, to the transition. And then when they come back, they work them to get them back into society. And I really have to say, I enjoyed working with them. They related to me. First I was like, oh my God. Like, I remember the first time I was like, oh wow. I wonder how that's going to go. How are they going to be, you know? And so in some way, I've always felt that pull. And specifically last year, you know, I saw a few TED Talks and I saw this interview by this guy, because he's talking about I think the book is called The Mask of the Toxic Masculinity. because he's talking about men being vulnerable, because for me, that is my thing. Like, one of my girlfriends called me the other day. She's like, yeah, your word, the V word. But so ever since then, so I decided that I'm going to work with men this year. I just have to, I'm going to interview some of them, the ones that I see who are paying attention to my message, and figure out how I can help them. So totally, I am totally with you on that, totally. So tell me, since you talked about purpose, do you believe in life purpose? Do you believe in such a thing? And if you do you have one, and do you mind sharing it with us?
Absolutely. My purpose is to pour into the youth and change the dynamics of what's happening now. I remember when I was appointed as the youth leader way back, I didn't understand why it happened. You know, I was a little peeved because I wasn't asked, I was appointed. And I found out at a convention and I was like, what? They're like, hey, congratulations. I'm like, what? You know, and I'm like, what am I gonna do? Like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, and I was young and anyhow. But I realized when I took on the responsibility and I started to communicate with the youth, they gravitated to me. It's important for us to be real with them. They respect that, because you don't have to be nasty to get your point across, or nasty for them to understand you. You sit down and you have a civil conversation with them on their level and they connect with you, they will change. And I realized that I had that gift. So when I recognized that, I had to embody it and I had to accept it, because you can't go forward without acceptance, right? Totally. Right? So, and like I shared earlier, we all have a purpose, but we all have not tapped into our purposes, right? And so I know for a fact that is my purpose. One of my purposes is the youth. I believe and I know that the youth is our tomorrow. So imagine if all this chaos is happening and we're not fighting to reverse it, what's gonna happen? We're not gonna have a world. Yes, it's going to change into robotics, because have you seen these robots that can cook and do all kinds of stuff? Like, do we really want that? We're already losing human touch with our cell phones.
I know. Right? I have to say, even for me, sometimes I have to be mindful.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so we have to go back into communication and speaking to the youth. For me, that gives me chills, it gives me enjoyment. I just love it, you know. And when I receive their feedback and they're happy and they're thirsty, they want more. They all of a sudden they have all these questions and answers, you know. And I always tell them, listen, there is no right or wrong, right? You have a purpose that's in you, but you have to birth it. And in order for you to birth it, you got to accept it. So I have a workbook that I have given when I go to speak to the various engagements. I have a workbook that I give them. And in the workbook, it begins with their name. Who are you? You know, and they always ask, well, that's easy. I know my name. So then they go down to the next question. And the next question, because there's four questions under who are you, right? So I always say, you have to know the meaning of your name, how you got your name, why you got your name, because your name is your identity. So if you don't know anything about your name, then who are you? Where are you going? Right? Mm-hmm. And so that question always is the hook for them, because then they start thinking, oh, wow. So when they start researching their name, like the last in California, one of the kids, he couldn't wait. He had to research his name while I was speaking. And he was like, oh my God, my name is XYZ. I was like, "Ooh, look at how your face lit up. You were happy to know the meaning of your name." So now he started to understand, oh, so this happened and blah, blah, blah. So then there's a connection, because everything is our identity. And so I'm really happy about that. Something that started out so small made a great impact and was powerful enough to change people in the moment. So I'm really grateful for that and that opportunity. Yeah.
Totally. That's powerful. I love that. Totally. So tell me, what do you stand for in life?
What don't I stand for?
Is there one or a few that like really stand out?
Yes. I stand for truth, to be honest with you. I think being true to yourself, everything starts with self. Totally. Once you understand who you are, accept who you are, and you're true to yourself, then you will speak truth. You will be true to others as well. So it's important for you to understand, because in this society, we're so conditioned to change and sway with our answers and sway who we are. We embody different identities because we need to fit in certain things or certain areas or with certain people. But when you're true to yourself, you don't need to make any changes. They're going to have to respect who you are and meet you where you at. And so truth and living your truth and your divine truth, because there's so many levels of truth. I think that is the most important key for your success.
No, that is that's also true. Totally true. So what are your thoughts on women empowerment?
Well, I'm all for women empowerment. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah, no. I know that.
Yeah. I'm all for women empowerment.
I don't question that.
You know, and us standing up for our rights and doing, being who we are, and, you know, because we do run the world. I don't care what people say. We do run the world. We run the household. We run the corporate. We run the world. But what I don't really care for as far as women empowerment and all these groups is that we tend to eliminate the man's vision, their purpose. And we cannot go forward without that unity. I cannot stress that enough. I have watched so many groups begin with such enthusiasm and then they become stagnant. Why? So I started asking why. I'm always asking questions, why? Right? So why is because, yes, and although we can multitask and we can do a ton of plethora of things at one time, we need a man's perspective. We need to value their opinions and their ideas and incorporate it and build together, instead of us separating ourselves with men empowerment groups and women empowerment groups. How about a unity group with men and women? How about that? Well, how about us fighting together against all these issues, especially in our communities? Our communities are so divided. You know, and we know we lack men in our household. And we also know that children need to have both parents. Even if they're not in the same household, we're so divided, we don't even want to get along because he's our ex or she's my ex. No, we have children, right? And all we can do is try our best to work together. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but you gave it your all. So working together is important and vital for us to build back our communities. And that's why my thoughts on women empowerment is, you know, it's a 50-50, it's a 50-50 feeling that I have about that whole movement. Because I believe men and women should work together for the greater good of our kids.
Totally. No, I totally agree with you there. Totally agree. Because I know for me, one of the things that I've actually, and, you know, I want to be more, you know, that's one of the things I plan to be more vocal on, is that sometimes I often see that, you know, women complain about men being a certain way, or now there's this whole patriarch, like everything is about misogyny.
Exactly.
And the thing is that actually what I notice is that we're actually doing it among ourselves.
Exactly.
So in a way, it's like we need, it's just like racism, you know, it's like you have, you know, I often say, okay, even if, you know, you're a white person and you say you're not racist, we look to see, is there anywhere that you you have some racist bias, you have some, you know, some things that you, maybe you, it's subtle, but it's there. So it's
exactly
with women, because I often see that, you know, we say men think like this about us, but then we actually think like that about other women.
Exactly.
So we also need to check ourselves.
Exactly. I agree.
So, yeah. What would you say the world needs more of?
Love.
Why?
You know what? And
I mean, I agree, but
it's a cliche. People say, "Oh, that's a cliche." No, we need love.
It's true.
Okay, so let me give you an example with a child. Mm-hmm. When your child is loving on you, and I know you don't have any children at the moment, but when you have a niece or nephew or godchild, when they loving on you and you both feeling good, everything flows well. Yeah. You get along, you're happy, you kissing, you're doing everything together. In relationship, when you get to know each other, you have the butterflies and you can't live without each other. You want to talk to each other 24/7. Everything is flowing fine, right?
Yeah.
But then when that period ends,
the honeymoon,
the fight come and I don't like her and I don't like him. But when you had the love, everything was flowing fine. But aside from saying we need love, in order for us to love each other, we got to be able to understand each other. We got to be able to open to knowing and accepting individuals as they are and as who they are. So the foundation of love is not just the word and it's not just the feeling. It is the actual communication that we need in respect of one another and of each other in order for us to go forward. And that is what's lacking nationwide, is that we are not open to accept the individual as who they are. We're so busy trying to change them. Why?
Yes.
We're all created independently, individually different.
Yes.
So it's not my job to change you and it's not your job to change me. It is for you to understand me, get to know me the way I am, and love me for who I am, and vice versa for me to you. So
yes.
Let's stop trying to change people and let's love each other the way, and meet each other where we're at for who we are. And that's why I said love, baby. We got to love on each other.
No, it's very true what you said, because, you know, I remember once, you know, I learned this, that love is acceptance.
Yes.
Love is, and the thing is that what I notice is that we tend to, you know, we tend to, like, for example, we want to befriend. I mean, I'm not saying obviously you don't, you know, you want to get along with people,
right,
and you want to be like hanging out with people that you don't like their views at all, whatever. But we have this whole thing of, you know, this person has to have the same views as
right.
me, you know, and that's exactly that. And that's what's really hurting us as a society.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
For me, that's one of the things, like, you know, I am all about speaking my truth, and
right.
I'm about, you know, empowering others is the same. But I often say that I know my truth is not the absolute truth.
Exactly.
It's true for me.
Exactly.
And it may not be true for someone else. And if they're the only thing that I like, for me, that's my thing, is that I'm going to respect your truth. And
exactly.
I respect mine. But what's
exactly.
happening is that we're constantly clashing and fighting because we, like, you know, well, actually, by the time people watch this, because you'll be like 2 weeks from now, but I'm about to release an interview on white supremacy and law of attraction. For me, it was very much, yes, it's coming out tomorrow. It's well, to now, you know, they would have watched it already by the time your interview comes, because you're 2 weeks later. You know, it's a two-part interview. I really wanted to find out more about it, their views on it.
Yes.
I did not agree with everything I heard.
Right.
You know? And it's totally fine. Like,
exactly.
I'm okay with it, you know? And that is the thing. And I think especially, like, right now, there's so many issues, like the women thing. And even with the racial thing, what you're noticing is that there's this very much either or.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
shouldn't be. I should be able to love and respect you as an individual, because you're not going to think like me and you're not always going to agree with me. But guess what? It's not going to stop me from loving who you are. It shouldn't. It
yeah.
shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah.
And so we need to embrace each other and respect each other and meet each other where we're at and build together. Why is that so difficult? Because we have allowed society to shape our minds and shape who we are.
No, definitely, definitely. And it's like, you know, for the during the actually, I have a friend of mine, one of her friends, her best friend, the friend's best friend voted for Trump. And she was upset at her friend. They were not talking to each other. And I was like, wow, really? I mean, I understand you may not agree, but to the point that you're not talking. Obviously, it's like, for example, I often tell people, I'm a black woman. So if you don't like black people, obviously you're not gonna be my friend. But if you're choosing, I may not agree with your politics, but I mean, really, you would have to disrespect me and my family. So anyway, guess what? Thank God they had actually spoken because her friend died. And you know, that's when I tell people, this is when I mean, unfortunately, sometimes it's like when you realize you really wanna like fight with somebody that you actually love and never talk to them because they voted the wrong way for you. But thank God they had already, you know, it was like a sudden death. She was at work, she got up, she fell, died.
Right on the spot.
Right on the spot, you know, so you never know. And it's
Yeah,
like
you
this
never
whole
know.
thing of like, because here's the thing, let's say you were pissed over whatever this person did, you know, and now they are gone. I bet you if she had not spoken to her friend, if they had not made up, could you imagine what guilt she would have
Oh,
felt?
yeah. She probably would have died of depression right after. Absolutely.
So totally, I agree with you. That is the thing. We need more tolerance. And you
Yes.
know, for me, I'm very big on self-love. That's one of my big thing in my work. And I tell people that, I mean, I'm not perfect, but actually really accepting myself has really allowed me to accept others. I am much more, I know some people that I know, they're like, oh, what did this person say on social media? Delete them as a friend. Or, oh, I'm not talking to this, and I'm like, okay, you really have to go a certain, ex like to really an extreme for me to do that. But I've become much more tolerant. It's weird because, and some people may not, and some people will say, oh, do you really stand for what you stand for? I do. It's just that I've also learned that, okay, it may not be the truth for them, or maybe that's just where they are in their journey.
That's true.
You know? Yeah. So Yali, thank you so much. So I would love for you to tell people more about you, what your work. I know you know, you have your own entrepreneurs. I think it's a nonprofit, right?
No, my business is for profit.
Oh, it's for profit. Okay,
Yes,
okay,
it's for profit, but not necessarily for profit.
okay. Okay. So tell them about you know, where they can connect with you. Obviously, all your info, all her info will be under the video on my website. So if you're listening to us through Apple Podcasts slash iTunes, because I don't think everybody knows that name yet, but you can go to my website, www.lovelikecoaching, where you'll get her information, but I'll let her tell you more about her.
Yes. So I own a transportation company, and what we do, we take families to visit their loved ones in the penitentiaries here in the state of Florida. My company is called For My Angels, the number 4-myangels.com. And that's where you will be able to find information about upcoming trips and what we do in service in the communities. You can also like us on IG, which is the number 4-myangels and the number 3. Or you can email me at info@4-myangels.com.
Great, great. So tell me, do you mind sharing with us how did this whole venture started?
I don't mind at all. Well, as I shared earlier, it came about in a dream about now it's been 4 or 5 years. No, 4 years, 4 years ago. And I sat on it for about a year and a half because it was something that I hadn't researched before, even though I had the experience as a child with my brothers
With your
being
brother.
in jail. And so I realized that it was a need in the community. And I don't do it for necessarily, to make a ton of money. I make just enough for me to carry myself, to take families to visit their loved ones. I think it's more important for them to have that communication than for me to profit. It's bad enough the industry, a $70 million industry robbing these families of their joy and their happiness. It's already taking a toll on families. So no, it's not my main priority to profit off of people's pain. So I try to make it as affordable as possible, but sometimes I can because, yes, you know, the further north I go, because it's Northwest and they're all far apart from each other. And then I have to pass tolls and, you know, gas, yes, and all that good
stuff. Especially now with the tolls.
Exactly. Yeah. The tolls everywhere now. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We go from 3 to 4 tolls to like 10 now. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is ridiculous. But anyway, so I try to make it as affordable as possible for families because I do believe the importance of going to visit. It is completely different than you emailing your loved one, from them calling you, from you viewing them via video. It is important for them to have that touch. And yes, some of them you cannot touch, but in some you can give a hug, and that hug goes 1,000 miles. I have spoken to inmates where they say, man, you know, my mama came and she gave me a hug, man, and I've been behaving. Listen, I have been behaving so that his mom can come again. Do you know how heart-wrenching that is? A simple hug. And I'm saying simple, but it's not simple because it goes a miles for these people. You know, for to know that my mom, my sister, my aunt, my woman, whoever, my man, making the time to take that 4-hour, 5-hour, 6-hour ride to come see me and to give me that hug. I'm going to behave and make it possible for me to see them again. So yes, if you have any family members that are incarcerated, please take the time to visit them, even if it's once a month. That once a month visit goes a long way for that inmate.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. It's true, like you said, because, you know, they don't get to see people. They don't get for family members, people to touch them, you know?
Right, right.
Totally great. Wow. Thank you so much, Yali. This is so great. Hold on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So yeah, great. This was really great. Wow. Well, I hope you guys find this really helpful. I hope you guys will go ahead and check out more and follow her on social media. I find her really inspirational. And for me, like I shared in the past 2 weeks, the reason why I really chose to interview her either way, but I thought it would be a great topic to talk to, like share with you all during the Black History Month, which is February.
Absolutely.
And these are really issues that matter to us as Black people, totally,
yes,
as
Black
people, because we're, like you said, I mean, we're, if you look at the, in, you know, the percentage of incarcerated people, who, you know, we're up there.
Yes. Yeah. Right? The state of Florida has 97 million people that are incarcerated. I'm sorry, 97,000.
Yes, totally. So go ahead and check out her website, her social media pages, connect with her. Maybe she, you know, hopefully this will inspire some of you as well to really take on, you know, getting involved in your communities. You know, even if you don't have to do it, like, you know, some of us do it a lot more than others, but at least do something. You know, it could be, okay, I'm going to volunteer once a month. I'm going to volunteer once every 2 months, but really do something because we all matter. That's one of the things that I've come to realize is that people don't engage because they don't know that they matter. They
Correct.
Don't know how powerful they are and how much we can truly make an impact, right?
Exactly. Absolutely.
Great. And if you enjoyed this and you don't want to miss any other episodes, below the video, after Yali's information, you'll see, subscribe to my email list. You'll see the box where you can put in your name, your email address, put it in, subscribe to my email list. Every Thursday, I share a new episode on, you know, from my podcast. And if you do subscribe to it, you'll, within a few seconds of confirming your subscription, you'll get my free gift, which is my 7 questions to help you reconnect with yourself and have an aligned message in your business. Even if you don't have a business, for those of you who are ambitious women who want to impact the world through sharing your story, your message is very important. It focuses a lot more on messaging, so that would be really helpful for you as well to do. And if you're listening to us through Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, share it. And those of you on my website as well, share it and visit my website, www.lovelikecoaching.com. Subscribe to my email list. Check out Yali's information. Well, Yahalia, I have Franklin's information. And thank you all again. Thank you so much, Yali, especially for such a short notice. You said yes and you joined me. So love and light to you all. Okay, bye.